Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parks on Record, the internal podcast for the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. My name is Matt Noble. Thanks for listening. Hope you're doing well. This is episode 7 of the podcast. Today is June 12th, 2020, and my guests this week are Joe Niehaus and Beth Wilson, and they are both part of Communications Division, and I talked to them this week about setting visitor expectations in the wake of the revenue shortfall that the agency is experiencing. So as you probably know by now, our park experience is very different from what it is in the past, working with heavily reduced levels of service than what visitors are used to. And so it's important to really prepare them and have them understand what they need to know before they get there and what they need to know while they're in the parks, what they can expect, things like that. It's a big ask and a big job, and so I wanted to understand more of the nuts and bolts and thinking behind how we've been crafting visitor expectations for probably the rest of the summer, possibly even longer. Who knows at this point? As we all know, the pandemic has been happening for 700 years, and there's no end in sight. So it's a good conversation. Hope you guys enjoy. And as always, check the show notes if you want to jump right to the interview, because I have a little bit of show housekeeping right before that. So quick housekeeping note for this week. It's a little bit of a somber housekeeping note. I am part of the first round of layoffs, along with many, many other people in the agency right now. And even if I find another position in the agency or I end up leaving in July, either way, the podcast will be leaving with me. So unfortunately, this is either the last or the penultimate episode of the podcast, which is actually kind of ironic because supposedly, statistically, 7 episodes is the average number of podcasts like out there. Of all the millions of podcasts, most of them like fizzle out before 10 episodes. So I guess we're just, you know, padding those statistics. But it's kind of a bummer, and I wish I could continue it in some way because I have a lot of fun doing it, but unfortunately, it's just not feasible. So if you stuck with us up until now, thank you. I really appreciate you listening. I've received a lot of very kind messages from people about how much they've enjoyed the podcast, and all the guests I've had have been very awesome, and they've all said how much fun they had recording with me and all that stuff. So just really thank you. Thank you for going on this new podcasting journey with me and for sticking with it, for ignoring all my weird verbal tics and things like that. And yeah, thank you. But all right, enough of a somber note. Let's talk to Joe and Beth. Today I'm joined by two of my favorite people from Communication Division, two of my coworkers. The first is the agency digital media specialist. She's been with the agency for about 15 years, and her name is Beth. How you doing, Beth?
Hi, Matt. I'm doing fine. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for making time on this slightly rainy Tuesday to talk to me. And the other person on the call today is our new marketing strategist. She's been with the agency for about 7 months. And her name is Jo Niehaus. Hi, Jo.
What's up, Matt? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. All right, so Beth, I want to start with a question for you, because in the last, in previous episodes of the podcast, we talked to various folks in the field about how visitors have been reacting to the initial closure, you know, back in March, and then we've been talking to field folks about people's reaction to the openings and kind of how they're dealing with visitor interactions and all those goings on. However, we've never really covered what's been happening in the online sphere. And so I wanted to start with you and just get a sense of what has the social media reaction been like from our visitors. So all the way back to the closure and to the openings and kind of everything in between, what's been the temperature online?
Well, it's evolved over time. You know, in March when we announced the closure, you know, the world was turned upside down for everybody. So in general, people were supportive. They understood why we were doing it. You know, they may not have been happy, but they understood why. And then as the closure went on into April, people became more frustrated. And they expressed that frustration through their comments. And then as it got into May, people just became angry. And the comments became a little bit more acerbic, and people were angry. Now, as things are starting to open, or are opening, it's just quiet. But there's a lot of things going on in the world right now, so I can't attribute it to anything.
Do you think all the acerbic comments, which, by the way, is the vocab word of the day, folks, acerbic, look it up. Do you think those kind of nastier comments, do you think that was a dedicated minority, or did you get the sense that there was did it ever step over, you think, into the, you know, above 50% of customers being just, you know, flat out upset with us and angry?
I don't think so, but there's really not a way to measure that. In general, people were still positive with their, you know, their reactions of whether they said, you know, they liked it or they loved it. But there was a very vocal group in the comments that were angry or they didn't understand. So I would say it was probably a balance, but it was a very different scenario for us from our previous post, because everybody was happy because everybody loved parks. It skewed a little bit during this time.
Yeah, I was hoping that that's what you would say. So it's good to hear that. Hopefully it was more of a balance. But I want to move on to my next question for you, Joe. So kind of dovetailing off the social media topic and kind of visitors online. So with the campgrounds opening for day use over the last month-ish, and the camping opening actually today, because we're recording this on June 9th, setting visitor expectations for what they can expect when they visit a park, either for day use or camping, has become probably the most important thing communications has been doing the last couple weeks. And so the phrase we've been using is reduced levels of service, which I don't know if that's vague on purpose, but I imagine people can interpret that in many different ways. So can you really expand on what we mean when ComDiv says reduced levels of service, and what specific messages have we been communicating to visitors?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Matt, because that's what the visitors are asking us too. What can they expect? What are we not delivering that we normally have for them? What amenities are impacted by some of the changes that we've been making? And really, we've approach this from a public safety, public health perspective, where our reduced levels of service are there to help protect our visitors as well as our staff. And it is just the outcome of just having less resources than normal. So we've launched into this campaign called Prepare and Care. And it's sort of piggybacking off of Travel Oregon's Take Care Out There campaign that they launched way back in January and February, and it was teased for a good 6 months before then. So it started off as a really interagency program with other outdoor recreation partners, and we were really excited to work with Kaylin O'Brien Feeney from Office of Outdoor Rec to help put together this campaign and message. And then we took it a little further just from the interagency group into our own ComDiv department, where we fleshed out those prepare and care messages a little bit more specific to state parks. So when people are coming in, first of all, we want them to have a plan. So where are you going? What are you going to do if it's closed or if it's crowded? What can you do to protect yourself and your family? We may not have all of our regular restrooms open. Even if they are open, they may not have hand sanitizer or soap. So you want to make sure you have that to maintain your hygiene. And also, the message that we really wanted to implement was that we didn't want people to travel too far. When we first started coming back online slowly, our concern was that everybody would be rushing all the parks, and some of the smaller rural communities who don't have a lot of resources would be hit really hard with an influx of visitors. So we wanted people to choose a park close to home and just have an expectation that when you bring stuff in, you're going to have to take it back out because our trash services are limited and we can't cater to large groups right now. Our group day reservations were going to be canceled places like picnic shelters and other public spaces that have a lot of touch points and playgrounds, they're probably not going to be accessible either. So those were some of the messages that we wanted to get when people were preparing for their visit and while they're there to take care of themselves.
How were those messages developed, Joe? Was it just putting heads together in ComDiv? Was it AOC led? Did it start with operations? Like, here's the reality of the operations. Now let's craft messaging around that, I guess. Yeah. So like, who was involved in crafting the messaging and what was the origin, I guess?
You kind of hit all of the targets there. So it definitely came from an operation level. Yeah. So the parks themselves know the best what they're going to be able to provide, what services and what they have to close down. So even at the very basic level of being able to communicate when you're in a park, what is closed, we had to create a whole bunch of signs. So in a previous podcast, I think you had Alexis Grambo on, and she was churning out signs like a machine for all the parks, anything from playgrounds to restrooms to visitor centers, campgrounds, etc. So a lot of messaging about what's open, what's closed, what times they may be open or closed, what people could do, including wearing a face covering, keeping physical distancing, etc. And then the AOC had some points that they wanted to make. The interagency group that we had with Travel Oregon and Office of Outdoor Rec helped refine some of the messages as well. But for the most part, the specific wordsmithing and the campaign highlights came from our ComDiv team. And one of the most exciting projects that we did recently was our welcome back video. And that was in cooperation with ComDiv and our regional program coordinators. They were absolutely essential on being our link in the field. And without them and our awesome rangers and staff that participated in the video, and there were plenty of others who didn't quite make the cut, not because of their fault, but just we had to cut some out for length and for content. And we had a really fun blooper video that too came out of it at the end. But that all kind of encaptured what we're expecting for the visitors and what they can expect from us. So it was really kind of all across the agency, all the messaging came together. We're still trying to make sure that people know that things are limited. And as camping's coming back online, the voice is changing a little bit because we really want people to be safe as they're spending more time in our parks and they're traveling a little bit further, their stays are getting longer. So what they can do becomes a little bit more personal, and we want to make sure that there's that sense of personal responsibility instilled as they're visiting our parks.
Yeah, actually, thank you for all that. That was very thorough. And thank you for reminding me about that bloopers video. I'm going to mental note to rewatch that after this interview, mainly just because I just love, you know, all the rangers just having a good time. But so this question is for both of you. So you've told us the origin of the messaging about the reduced levels of service. We've talked about some of the tools we've been using and kind of how we've been approaching it both offline and online. So I guess, how do we know if this is all working, right? Because we're just kind of sending all this information out into space. And we know that from our web analytics that people are visiting our website. And, you know, we know from the comments on Facebook that people are reading and digesting our messaging. But is there a way to gauge whether our messages are working and whether we're accurately setting visitor expectations? Or is it really just, you know, if the rangers are having a good time, then we know we're doing well? Like, how do we gauge that?
We can gauge the engagement on our posts. You know, we can see how many people read it. We can see how many people share it. We can see the comments. Translating that into action is harder.
The really key thing for us has been getting feedback from the field. Hearing the park managers report back to their RMs and DMs and hearing it at the AOC meetings and trying to identify what areas that people need assistance with and that we can jump in has been really critical for us. It does put ComDiv in a more sort of reactionary rather than proactive stance, but you know, in a situation where you're responding to an emergency, in this specific case, a worldwide pandemic, reactionary is good, and we just want to be quick. So, for example, there were some rumblings about people wanting banners in the parks that helped clarify social distancing, physical distancing of 6 feet, and protective measures that people could take. That came all the way up to the AOC and was a decision made at a higher level, asking ComDiv to create these banners quickly and have them shipped out in time for park openings. So that's just one example of where we get feedback from the field and it gets back to us where we can answer that. Another is when we get feedback directly from the customers. And our info center folks have been incredible in having to deal with people on the phone, and our social media team, including Beth and Tracy Nguyen, have also been fielding very sometimes angry and sometimes aggressive questions from the public and demands and complaints, and understanding where the confusion comes from and how we can mitigate that sort of drives where we identify the communication links could be stronger. So if people are confused about the difference between camping and day use, how do we make that clearer and how do we translate that? So then that brings in a whole nother partnership with our IT team and Bob DeVilder's team, with the help of Jessica Dietzen and Bill Dahl and everybody there. They quickly created this heat map for us that identified all of our parks, their statuses, linking back to park pages. And for us, it was just critical in maintaining that flow of communication from the field to what is accurate and reflecting the current situation. So it's really not a one person, one status or one statistic type of thing. It's really been a team effort. And as an agency, I think this pandemic has really pulled everybody together. And I really have to give credit to our ComDiv team for being able to respond so quickly in so many different ways and being able to strategize on all different fronts. And I will say another big piece has been an improvement in internal communications. And Matt, so much of that kudos goes to you for developing our new FYI strategy, making sure that instead of a regular every other week programming, you've been able to get message out to everybody in the agency when they need to know and quickly. And this podcast is an incredible tool. And when it first started, I think it really helped us, staff members, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but me personally, really helped hearing directly from MG and Lisa on the direction of the agency, especially when everything was really scary and unknown. And not that things are less scary or less unknown now, but we seem to be a little bit more cohesive, and there's a sense of unity even when we're all really separate and either working from home or are in our separate units and unable to travel as much as we did.
Well, thank you, Joe. I normally have a strict no praising the host policy on this show, but I'll allow it this time, I guess.
Okay. Well, I won't gush too much, but it's been awesome, and thank you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, happy to do it. You know, this scratches an old college radio itch for me. So, you know, happy to jump back into the saddle. But no, yeah, I think just to echo what you said, it's been just speaking as someone who's helped out with a lot of those, you know, web updates, and someone who worked a long time on the outline and the script for the video and other communication pieces. Yes, I agree. It's been very inspiring to see not only ComDiv come together, but really just different units across the agency and field and HQ to really pull together and, like I keep saying in every episode, navigate the weird pandemic reality that if you had told me 10 months ago would happen, I would have, you know, laughed in your face and then bought stock in Zoom or something. But okay, so that concludes the prepped questions I have. So Beth, is there anything you would like to add for the listeners?
Well, Chris Havel is going to present an agenda item to the commission, I think it's next week, a summary of our online relationship with our park visitors. And it's a really broad look and broad view of what's happened over the last 3 months. And if anybody's really interested in, you know, the social media aspect or the digital aspect of it, it's a really good read. And he took a took a look at a lot of different things and summarized it, and also touched on how we handle our visitor engagement in the future. So if anybody's interested, it's on the oregon.gov/OPRD website under the commission heading. So it's really fascinating.
So Joe, anything else you would like to add that you would like people to know?
Yeah, I definitely want to send thanks out to everybody that has been submitting content on our social media. We had a lot of fun with hashtag Rangers doing Ranger things and Throwback Thursday and some of our fun messaging that we did during the quarantine, especially as people were really looking for more online engagement. And Beth, I don't want to speak for you, but I thought we had some really great submissions in there, and it was a lot of fun. And some of the Rangers even put together some short videos, and that was great to throw out there for our visitors to experience parks, even though they were closed. So thank you for so much of that. I know everybody's incredibly busy. We're going to start toning down a little bit on some of the more fun content as we focus more on the business needs, but don't worry, it'll be back. We'll kind of get back into the groove of things. So if things seem a little bit different from where we were with social media and our online presence in the last couple months, it's okay. It's just us trying to re-strategize.
There might be one thing maybe just to add. It must be very hard for, you know, park rangers and others in the department to read some of those comments and to remind people it's just a blip in time. Tomorrow is going to be a different issue. There's going to be comments and other things, and it's not going to go away, but it's secondary. You know, it's just a momentary comment that, yes, it means something, we can gather information from it, but we can't take any of it personally. And I know that's very hard to do.
I think that's a good way to end it. So thank you both for taking the time to speak to me today. I know we talk several times a week already, but it's good to get you guys officially on the record, on the podcast. So thank you both.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks again to Joe and Beth for talking about setting visitor expectations and pretending like they don't talk to me every single day about such things. I really appreciate them taking the time, and I hope you guys enjoyed the interview as well. Real quick, if you skip the show notes, this could be the last episode of the podcast. It might be the penultimate episode. I don't know yet, but either way, our time together is limited. So savor it, listener. Savor it. And while you're savoring our time together, don't forget that you're awesome, and thank you for listening. Wash your hands, and I'll talk to you again soon.